Sometimes we forget the heavy equipment. Amen. Exodus chapter number 3, verse number 1. If you're there tonight, somebody say amen.
Amen.
The Bible said, "Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert. He came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb, and the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked and beheld, and that the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he had turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Draw not nigh hither, but put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. How many's glad that we can get on some holy ground and that in this day that we live? Amen. And the Bible said, moreover, he said, look, don't miss this. He said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people, which are in Egypt, and I have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows, and I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of that land unto a good land, and a large unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto a place of the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and the Amorites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites. And now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel is come unto me. I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppressed them." And so as we go farther into this scripture tonight, Moses said unto God, "Who am I? Who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt?" And he begins to have this conversation, this personal conversation, and that with God. Now I want to remind you who Moses is before we read further. Moses is a man that was raised. He's of the Hebrew lineage. His mother had laid him there in an ark of bulrushes. And we find, dear friend, that he had made his way and that to the house of Pharaoh. And the Pharaoh's daughter found him. And he was raised as an Egyptian. But I want you to miss this. But he could not, no matter how much he acted Egyptian, no matter how much he tried to look like an Egyptian, amen, he was still a Hebrew, amen. And so we find that as he was growing older, we find that he looked out over the oppression of the children of Israel, and when he seen how they was afflicted, and that we find that Moses and that took and killed, and that one of the guards there of the Egyptians, when he killed this man, he fled and that to where his father-in-law's house was. A friend, now Moses is standing in the midst in verse 11, and he says, "Who am I, Lord, that I should go and do anything for you?" Boy, I feel much like that tonight. Who am I that I could stand and say or do anything on behalf of the name of the Most High God of heaven? Amen. But Moses began to speak unto the Lord. Now look at this. And Moses said in verse 13 unto God, "Behold, when I am come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, the God of your fathers has sent me unto you, and they shall say unto me, what is his name? And what shall I say unto them?" And God said unto Moses, "I am that I am." Amen. And the Bible said, if you'll read on in that latter part, he said, "I am he that has sent me unto you." Look what he said in verse 15. And God said, "Moreover, Moses, thou shalt say unto the children of Israel, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, hath sent me unto you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial unto all generation. Let us pray. Father God, we love you tonight. We thank you, Lord, for another heaven-bought privilege and honor, God, that you've given us, God, to stand behind this sacred desk. Father, I want to thank you, God, and that for the great opportunity, God, to preach Jesus. Father, I want to thank you, Lord, tonight, God, that I'm a sinner saved by your marvelous grace. And God, tonight, we ask you for just a little bit, you'd help us as we stand and as we try to do nothing more than exalt the name of our Lord. God, I pray tonight there's somebody in this house that needs to hear what we're about to say. God, I pray tonight, Father, for Holy Ghost inclination. God, I pray, God, that you'd help us to preach this big message as simple with the simplicity that even the smallest of children could understand what we're about to say. Lord, we love you, we thank you, we praise you, and we give you all the glory, and we ask all these things in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior, in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, amen and amen. Tonight, with the help of the Lord, I would like to break apart these scriptures and that we've been on Sunday night dissecting on who is Jesus. Who is this Lord that we claim? Who is this Savior that we know? Who exactly is this man who took on flesh and came down from the very highs of heaven and put on flesh and lived and breathed and took on the sin of mankind and died for each and every one of us? Who is this man? Well, I go back to the Old Testament tonight and I find that he simply tells us who he is. A friend here in Exodus chapter 3, and that we are a lot like Moses. Moses, he said, I don't have a good speech to tell anyone, and that of who you are, why would you send me? And God said, I just need you to tell them one thing. He said, I just need you to go down there to that heathenistic bunch, and you tell the Egyptian Pharaoh that the I am that I am has sent you unto them. Honey, I don't know about you tonight, but that in God's person, a friend tells us exactly who he is. Amen. We've talked about him being the first and the last, the Alpha and the Omega. We've talked about a dear friend, him being, oh listen, he's him being that advocate that we can go to. Amen. When we have sinned, amen, in little John chapter 2, he said he's a propitiation for our sin, but not for our sin only, for the sin of the whole world. And friend, tonight the Bible says that if you want to know who he is, then you've got to get into this. He is the I am. You may say, well, preacher, that's kindly vague. And that to me tonight, it don't tell me exactly who he is. It just says that he is, the I am. And that you say, preacher, and that how does that get me to know him better? How does that get me in a closer relationship with this God of heaven? Oh, well, I'm glad you asked me. And Brother John, I cannot get this off of me. And that study me and you are doing. Friend, I've just got to give you some scripture tonight, and I'm going to tell you who he is. Friend, I'm going to say that there's many I ams, and that in the Word of God. But friend, until we dissect them, each and every one, then you will never scratch the surface of knowing exactly who Jesus is. Friend, you can talk about him all day. You can say his name, Jesus, all day. But friend, until you get down on that personal, intimate relationship level, then you will never truly know who Jesus is. Boy, there's a lot of people comes to an altar and they say, Lord, save me. And he becomes their Savior. But friend, they never make him Lord of their life. I mean, that means getting up in an altar bench and laying down before his feet and saying, God, all of me is all of yours. Friend, tonight, how long's it been since you laid at the feet of Jesus and said, Lord, I am all yours. Amen. How long has it been since you laid up in the arms of the I Am? How long's it been since you let God hold you for a little while? Friend, let me tell you what the I Am can do for you. I find in the book of John, now I don't want nobody to fall off a wagon. You come with us, amen? John chapter number 6, and that in verse number 35. John, I'm just going to give it like he gave it to us, brother. Amen. John chapter 6 and verse 35, and the Word of God says, and Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. And he that believeth on me shall never thirst. Amen. If you'll go back to chapter 4. Amen. Not only is he the he said, I am the bread of life. Not only is the bread of life, but he also says that he that believeth on him shall never thirst. If you go back to John chapter 4, you'll read about a little Samaritan woman, amen, that was there by the well, and he looked at her and said, give me drink, and she said, sir, me being a Samaritan, and you being a Jew, and you saying you need a drink from me, she could not understand it, but Jesus laid out the gospel truth, and he told her, he said, this water that you shall drink. He said, you shall thirst again. He said, but if you'll drink of the water that I shall give thee, he said, you shall never thirst again. He said that it'll be as a well of life springing up into everlasting life. I'm glad to say to somebody tonight, he is your bread. He is your water. He is all you need tonight, amen. He's all that you need. Amen. He said, I'm the bread of life. Look at verse 41. And the Jews murmured. Amen. Listen. And they said, because he said, I'm the bread of life which coming down from heaven. And that, and they said, is it not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he saith, I'm come down from heaven? And they begin to murmur and complain. But then in verse number 48, he said, hey, listen to me. He said, I am the bread of life. Amen. And then in verse 51, he said, I am the living bread which come down from heaven. And if any man eat this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I'll give is my flesh, and I will give for the life of the world. Amen. Verse 58, and he said, this is that bread. He said, I am the bread of life. Are you hungry tonight? Then you need to come and eat. If you're hungry tonight, you can be satisfied in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. All you got to do is come and eat. Amen. And he's already supplied your table. He's already fixed your helping. Amen. All you got to do is come. Amen. You know what that little woman at the well said? She said, sir, give me the drink. She said, I want whatever you got to offer. Amen. And he said, listen now. And he said, go and call your husband. And then listen now. And he said, oh, listen. She said, sir, I have no husband. He said, you said. And hey, but you have no husband. And he said, you said rightly. He said, because you've had six husbands, and the one that you have now, and five husbands, and the one you have now is not your husband. Honey, can I say unto you that she made a man that day that would supply for her, that would help her. Listen to me, women in here tonight. Amen. Listen. Your man may let you down, but praise God, day's one. They won't ever let you down. He'll never let you go. He'll never. to walk out on you. Amen. Yes, amen. Praise God. He said, I am the bread of life. Amen. I'm glad to report to somebody tonight that I have tasted and I have seen that God is good. Yes. Amen. They ain't nothing taste better than Jesus. Amen. I've tried pinto beans and cornbread. Oh, praise God. I've tried greens and deviled eggs and all that good fixing. Amen. I ate some of the best broccoli casserole that I've ever eaten in my life this evening. And then I had a strawberry cake. Praise God. Amen. Man, somebody look at me and say, preacher, you lost your mind. Ain't none of it tastes as good as the sweetness taste. And that of the Lord Jesus Christ, who that when I was hungry, gave me something to eat. Amen. And I am saying to you tonight that I've never been hungry ever since. Amen. Amen. He said, I am the bread of life. Praise God. Who else is this I am? He also said in John 8, boy, I got too much to go to. Amen. I'm just going to mind the Lord. We'll stop when He says to stop. Amen. And we'll pick the rest of it up next service. Praise God. Amen. If the Lord see it fit. But in John chapter number 8, and that in verse number 12, praise the Lord, He said, I am the light of the world. And he that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Amen. How many is glad tonight, friend, that when you was wandering in darkness, when you could not see the way, when you didn't know where to go or where to turn, there was a light shined out in your dark hour. And friend, when you seen that light, the Apostle Paul seen the light. Amen. It struck him blind and knocked him to the earth. But when he got up and he went down to the city, Brother Eric Frank, amen, Ananias came down there and he said, God's got a word for you. And he got up and it said it was as scales fell off of his eyes. Amen. And he got up and he went to preaching. Somebody said, my goodness, what a change in a man. There's only one that can do it. And he is the light of the world. His name is Jesus. Well, glory. Praise the Lord. He's the light when you can't see. He's the direction when you don't know where to go. Amen. I'm telling you, we was coming down Cold Creek Mountain one night, and Haley looked over at me and she said, and at when did they put red reflectors on the road? Boy, I didn't say nothing then, but by the time we got home, boy, I'm telling you, I was all beside myself, and I didn't say nothing about it. I just kept it in, and I went down there to the study, and I sat down. Amen. Them little red reflectors was just going back and forth past my car. And I thought, boy, I couldn't help but think. Amen. There was the blood trail that led a light. And that for me in a dark hour when I didn't know what to do. Amen. And I couldn't see where to go. Jesus lit my path with His crimson blood. And friends, showed me the path to take. Amen. Amen. Praise God. I'm thankful, dear friend, that when I didn't know what steps to take, He showed me the path. I like that old picture. I don't know who painted it, but it's got one set of footsteps in the sand. Amen. And it talks about those footprints. A friend in there, and our footprints are in those footprints, and He is guiding our way. He said, now you are the light of the world. Amen. A city set upon a hill. Friend, boy, ain't you glad tonight that Jesus has left us with a great commission? He left this world. He said, I'm going to have to go. He said, but I will leave you a comforter. Amen. The Holy Ghost. And friend, He has given us a direction
by His glorious light. Boy, ain't that sweet tonight? Jesus didn't have to do that. Hey, man, you think He had to? You're wrong. He didn't have to. But He said, I ain't going to just save you and leave you. Woo! Hallelujah. Amen. He said, I'm going to go with you every step, every stride, everywhere I go, everywhere you go. He said, I'll be there too. He said, I'll never leave you nor will I ever forsake you. But I will go with you all the way even to the ends of the earth. And when it gets dark, I'll light your path. Amen. Hallelujah tonight. Boy, I'm telling you, if I was to shut the lights off in this place this evening, you just wouldn't be able to see 2 foot in front of your face. But praise God, friend, that in a spiritual sense, I know where to go because He's done lit the path. He is the light of the world. Amen. As John 8:12 says, not only is He that, He also says in John 10, you can turn there tonight, John 10:7-9. In John 10:7-9. And that He said, and Jesus said unto them, He said, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. Amen. He said, all that ever came before me are thieves and robbers. And that, but the sheep did not hear them. Oh, He said, I am the door, and by me if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and he shall go in and out and find pasture. And the thief cometh not but to steal, kill, and destroy. He said, I'm come that they might have life, and that they might have life more abundantly. He said, I am the good shepherd. Amen. Praise God. Friend, ain't you glad tonight? Not only is He the door, but He's also the shepherd of the door. Amen. The sheep, amen. They can only get where the shepherd leads them. Every now and then you'll have one that'll wander off. But praise God for the shepherd with his long cane, with the hook on the end, that he'll grab them around the neck and he'll pull them back into fellowship. Amen. Have you ever been there when you was a child of God, and for some reason you fell stagnant by the way, but Jesus came, and that being that good shepherd, and He hooks you around the neck, and He pulled you into His bosom, and He picked you up, and put you on His shoulders, and carried you right back to fellowship with Him. Amen. And when He got there, He opened up the gate to the pasture. Friend, I'm going to tell you, the grass ain't always greener on the other side. Praise the Lord. My friend, He's the door. And our Christmas play was a perfect description that He is the door. Friend, He said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. Amen. And tonight He's a knocking. He's a knocking everywhere, all the time. A friend, there's somebody that might be here tonight that's lost that needs to be saved. And He's a knocking on that door. A friend, there might be somebody in China tonight. And a little old missionary might walk by their way. And friend, may share the gospel with them. And it just tires me plumb up. That while we're down here in the corner of Greasy Creek, they may be a little Asian boy over there, or Asian girl over there halfway across the world. And the Holy Spirit of God fall down on her, the same as He fall down over here. Praise the Lord. Amen. The same God over all. He is rich in mercy. Amen. And He's abundant. He's abundant to pardon. How many's glad tonight? There He is, the door tonight. Amen. All you got to do is open it. And He's standing there with the arms wide open. Praise the Lord. I'm thankful. He said, I am these things. He didn't only just say that. He said, I'm the good shepherd. He takes care of the sheep. You'll find that in chapter 10, verses 11 and verse number 14. He said, I'm the good shepherd and know my sheep. He knows you tonight. Boy, don't that blow your mind. Hey, man, I love Isaiah 43. He said, I formed thee in thy mother's womb. And he said, I've called thee by thy name. He said, thou art mine. Amen. And he said, when thou passest through the waters, he said, they'll not overflow thee. He said, and when thou passest through the fire, he said, you shall not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. He said, for the Lord God of Israel, amen. You know what he said about me and you? He said, for thou was precious in my sight. And friend, he loves you tonight. And his desire is to bless you. It surely is. Is everybody all right tonight? Boy, ain't he a good shepherd? Hey, man, you know sheep. Yeah, some people get their feelings hurt over this right here. But you know sheep is one of the most ignorant animals that's ever lived. A friend, they can't do nothing without the shepherd. They can't. They don't even know what to do. They just stand there and look up in the sky. Amen. But when the shepherd's there, he'll show them the green pasture. When they need something to drink, he'll lead them down beside the still water. Amen. When the wolves come in, the shepherd will put his life in the line of fire to make sure the sheep are took care of. He is a good shepherd tonight. Amen. Amen, Jeff. Praise God, son. Hallelujah. That he is that good shepherd. He's watched over me more times than I can count tonight. And if you'll be honest, he's watched over you more times than you can count. When you was in your dark, despairing, darkest hour of your life, and then you didn't know what to do, amen. And you just laid your head down on your pillow, and you didn't know what to say, and all you could do is weep. Hey, praise God. Praise the Lord that the shepherd walked by. Amen. Ain't you glad when Jesus passes by, and that way some things begins to pick up. Amen. Amen. When depression comes, when anxiety comes, when addiction comes, there is a good shepherd that will deliver you. Amen. What did he say? He said he'd leave a 99 in search of one. I was one of those ones. And praise God, he picked me up, wiped off my sin, set me on my feet again. Amen. And he loves me as small as I am. Praise the Lord God of heaven tonight. Oh, that I've got one that watches over this old ignorant boy. Hey, man, I'm telling you tonight, I don't know a whole lot. I'm not educated. I ain't got no Bible, theology, seminary kind of deal. But I'll tell you what I do, God, is I've got an altar education. And I've got a King James Bible that's helped me every step of the way. I've got the Word of God. Hey, man, that is and will and forever will stand. Amen. How many's glad it'll never fade? It'll never run out, but it's always good. Amen. Hallelujah. For the Word of God. Amen. Not only is he the good shepherd, but he's also the true vine. And some of us don't even have a clue what that means. We say, well, he said he's a vine. Over in Isaiah, it said he was the branch. Whoa, I ain't got time to get on that tonight. Praise God. But friend, I'm telling you, he said, I am the true vine. He said that in John 15 and verse 1. He said, I am, in capital letters, the true vine. And my Father is the husbandman. He also said it in verse number 5. I am the vine, and ye are the branches. And he that abideth in me, and I in him, the same shall bring forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. But friend, he said in verse 7, if ye abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask whatever you will and it shall be done and that unto you. And friend, he then goes on to say, praise God, in verse number 13, greater love hath no man than this, that a man would lay down his life for a friend. And friend, then he goes on to say in verse 16, you've not chosen me, but I have chosen you. Honey, how many's glad the God of glory chose you to love? Amen. He chose you to love. Boy, he's a good preaching spirit here tonight. Amen. Praise the Lord. Friend, he loves you. And he has become all these things that you can be supplied. He said he would supply all your needs according to the riches of his glory. Amen. But he said, I'm the true vine. What does that even tell me tonight, preacher? I'm going to slow down right here. Some of you know. Some people, I guarantee, in the church houses across this world has no clue what that even means. Well, I'm just kind of an old redneck, hillbilly, simple kind of feller. Amen. But I'm glad tonight I know what a vine is. Amen. You can plant you an old grapevine, but it's got to have a main vine. It has to have the main vine. And if the main vine ever gets damaged, if the main vine is ever compromised, then the food supply and source is cut off from the rest of the fruit, of the rest of the branches. If the main vine, something happens to it, if it gets plucked up, hey man, brother Scotty, it compromises the whole plant. Friend, can I tell you tonight, praise God, they tried to pluck him up. They tried to beat him down. They tried to remove him from the equation. Amen. But oh, if they only knew. Amen. I'm kind of glad they didn't know. Because they beat him and they whipped him and they marred him. It hurts my heart tonight to know what Jesus endured for me. But praise be unto God that when he was whipped and bruised and all our transgressions was on him. Thank God. Amen. That they could not destroy the vine. And thank God tonight, because the vine still lives, I can live also. And friend, I will not die, but I will live forever. Because the vine is still alive. Amen. I began to think, I'm going to give you something free right here tonight. My papa had a grapevine, and he had worked that thing, and he attended that thing. Well, he died. When he died, Mama was not able to tend to that vine. And I asked him one day, I said, Mama, what does that vine need? Because it just looks like it ain't doing much good. And she said, let me tell you what's wrong with that vine. Is your papa is not standing there and that beating off the birds. I said, what? And she said, every time a little grape forms, them old blue jays and them robins and all them birds will come in and they'll swoop in and they'll grab them fruit before they ever get mature. And she said, the plant's suffering because there's never any fruit that's getting to be bared for it. And you may tell you what God the Father was doing when they was beating on my vine. He was standing up there in heaven, and he was looking down upon his son. Amen. The Bible said, and darkness fell upon the face of the earth. But friend, I'm going to tell you that when Jesus bowed his head in death and said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He said, it is finished, and he gave up the ghost. Amen. God shook this earth from the very foundation. Amen. That it ripped the veil of the temple in twain from top to bottom. That signified that they could no longer keep the Father in a box. He was no longer confined to an area where only the priest could access him. But friend, the Father said, I'm going to bless the vine. and I'm going to keep all the snakes and birds beat off of my son, that he may die for my glory, and that he may be buried in a parted tomb, and arise up. Hallelujah. Somebody needs to help me tonight and rise up on the third day victorious. He said, I'm going to beat off all the demons of hell. Yeah. That he can die and do what he's going to do. You think about that. Now look at all us sitting in here saved. The vine has produced much fruit. Well, hallelujah anyways. Amen. I'm thankful tonight that I was an old grape that should have got plucked off before it matured. But I'm glad unto heaven above. Amen. Oh, that there wasn't enough demons in hell that kept me plucked off the vine. Amen. The vine sustained me and the Father protected me. And thank God, glory for the true vine tonight. Amen. Yeah. How many glad you're saved tonight, amen. Yeah. Well, glory, I'm about done. Hold on just a minute. I'm going to give you something else. John 14 and 6. Two more destinations and I'll be done. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Friend, I'm so glad that when I had no way and I had no life and I knew not what the truth was, Jesus in His grace and mercy and love came down to where I was in the shape I was in. It didn't matter what my last name was. It didn't matter what family lineage I came out of. He wasn't concerned. Anybody in here ever done an Ancestry.com? Anybody ever done one of them? Don't lie. Everybody in here, well, you may not be lying because you're sitting right here with your family. Amen? I did Ancestry.com, and I could go back all the way to Scotland on one side of the family. And on the other side, the higher side of the family, it only went back so far because I'm pretty sure they about killed themselves out. So, hey, you think I'm lying? My great-great-grandfather, Dan Harris, was almost the first man hanged in Tellico Plains because he rode a horse into a church house on a Sunday morning drunker and Cooter Brown, amen? And, I mean, he was almost the first man hung in Tellico. That's my great-great-grandfather. But they let him off. They let him off because they said that he wasn't in his right mind. Yeah, he was drunk, amen. They thought he had some mental issues, which that probably was the case too, amen. But hey, can I tell you something? Friend, when all of the odds was against me. You know what I'm talking about, Chris Norwood. When all of the odds had stacked up against my favor. And the devil said, son, you ain't got nothing. And you can't get anything. Right. Yeah. Jesus said,
come on.
I am the way, yes, the truth, and the life.
Amen.
He said, if any man come unto me. Man, I'm glad tonight, church, that he did not exclude a certain group of people.
Right.
Amen. The Apostle Paul, Eric Frank, stood up and said, hold on, what about them Gentiles? What about those ones that's outcast that the Jewish people says ain't nothing but dogs? And he said, yeah, tell them about Jesus too. And friend, they accepted him. And here we sit today under the grace of an almighty God because the way was made. Amen. When we should have perished, Jesus said, I'm going to give them myself too. And lastly tonight, you can turn there if you want to. I hope you're writing these down. It'll help you. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. I've done run out of gas, and I don't know if I can preach the rest of this. But friend, I'm going to tell you in John 11:25, he said, I am the resurrection and the life. And friend, you may wonder tonight, what does that mean for me? Well, I'm glad to report to you, friend, that he is the I am. And whatever you need is what he is. Amen. Anything you could ever want, anything you could ever desire, he is all you need. Amen. He's the resurrection. Why is he the resurrection? Because he resurrected. Why did he resurrect? Because that me and you could be resurrected with him as well. Amen. I'm going to tell you, friend, I've done had one resurrection, Brother Terry, when I resurrected up from the dead man. But praise God, Brother Scotty, one of these days I'm going to have me another. Amen. And whether I be in the ground or whether I be standing here preaching on a Sunday morning, praise God. Amen. I may be standing at Sea Ray covering a piece of boat material. But friend, I'm telling you, wherever I be, when he splits the eastern sky and he comes down, I'm going up. I'm going up. The church is going up. Amen. You that are saved are not going down. How many ever felt, don't raise your hand, but how many's ever felt like you's just going down? This is it. I'm sinking. This is it. The ship has busted. My hull is so battered and beat and torn that I'm going down with the waves. I wonder if Peter had that thought. Whenever he stepped out of the boat and he took his eyes off Jesus and he looked around at all the stormy waves that was around him. And when he took his eyes off, a lot of people like to pick on Peter. I say, hey, do a better job than he did, amen. Then you can pick on him, amen. Friend, I'm going to tell you, he stepped out of the boat and walked on the water to Jesus. But when he took his eyes off the Savior, he sunk. When he sunk, before he was submerged, he said, save me. Yeah. And maybe tonight that might be you that's sinking in this world of despair and torment and agony. Maybe you need to be saved. Before you sink, you've got a chance to say, Lord, save me. You know what the Bible says? I love the Bible. He said he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Somebody may be sitting here tonight and been saved for years, but you still feel like you're sinking. I believe Peter was saved. Peter wasn't a child of God. I ain't got no chance. Amen. That's the truth. He loved the Lord. He didn't always do what was right. Do we? Oh, that old Peter, he sunk and he denied him three times. What have you done? Him without sin cast the first stone. Am I right? Somebody say amen right there. That's what's wrong with the church today. Everybody's got a business of throwing stones whenever they don't look at their own problems. That's a whole other sermon for another day. Yeah. Tonight you're sitting here in God's house and you're wanting to know more about Jesus. He's told you a whole lot right now of what he is. Yeah. Who he is. Zane, come on, son. Jelaine's waiting on you. Very quietly, very reverently across this house, would you stand to your feet? Boy, I'm telling you what I've preached to you tonight, I could preach all night long. How many would want to sit here and listen to me all night long? Well, praise God, there's a lot of hands went up. Amen. I'm going to tell you, I got enough Bible to do it. But I ain't got the body to do it. Boy, Brother Eric, you know what's a shame? When we get to heaven, we ain't gonna have to preach. Boy, if I could preach in a glorified body.
I can't imagine. Tonight, you've heard the Word of God. And Jesus has made Himself known to you. I don't know how long we're going to be on this. I can't get off of it. I can't get in. I'm just going to ride it until the train stops. But I'm going to tell somebody right here tonight that whatever you're facing, whatever you're struggling, whatever sins in your life, it ain't too big for the I Am. Preacher, how do you know? Well, I'm glad you asked me. Because God, through His mighty hand, stretched down into Egypt and took a man that could not even talk plain. A man who said, "I don't even know what to say, Lord." A man who had killed, murdered a man in cold blood. And God, in His mighty hand, reached down and got him and said, "Through you, Moses, you're setting my children free." Tonight, I don't care where you've been, what you've done. I don't care how long you've been saved and how long you've been in sin and been saved. There ain't nothing tonight that He won't pardon and that He won't set free. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed across this house. Father God, we thank You, Lord, for this time that You've allowed us to dig into the depths of who our Savior is. God, I thank You, Lord, that You are the I Am. God, You are the greatest thing that's ever happened to me. And tonight You set me free. And tonight I am a firm believer that You can set somebody else free right here tonight. Maybe there's somebody struggling. Maybe there's somebody, it's been a while since they've got down and they just got honest with You. Maybe it's been a while since they realized just who You are. God, I pray that You'd sweep through this place tonight and You'd captivate hearts across this building. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Won't you come join me in this altar tonight? He's waiting for you, same. Won't you?